Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you're joining live, that's awesome. Get in the chat room, say hello. Let's have a conversation. There's people there, you know, and people love to have conversations in there. There's a lot of opinions, trust me. And if you're catching this on podcast, I appreciate it. I love seeing the growth every week. I don't know what we're doing. Maybe social media posts, even though we're, you know, we try and keep it on reasonable social media because that's what we do here. Just a couple announcements to get the show going today. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. And could you all, if you're on a social media platform of some sort, go ahead and make an announcement that we're live. People can join us or post where they can get the podcast. I know it's on Spotify, maybe on all of the other ones too. You never know from week to week, you know, if you're going to get, not posted, let's say. Go to Buzzsprout, always on Buzzsprout. I've never been banned or stricken from Buzzsprout. That's where I send my podcast to get redistributed, and they do a great job of it. So, you know, thanks to them. And, but check it out. Any podcast server that you're on, wherever you listen to your podcast, look for the Redneck Dentist, and you'll probably find it. And if you don't, send me a message, and I'll make sure it gets up there. Let's see, Behind the Woodshed, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, Hal Anthony. Good grief, man. Please, just listen to Hal Anthony, Behind the Woodshed. That dude has so much information that he's really, I think, awesome to listen to week after week. It's just a, you know, really enjoyable 2 hours. He hardly takes a breath, honestly, and he doesn't take any breaks. I don't even know if he has a drink, like a little drink of water or something. Hey, by the way, check out this cup. When you see this on video, you'll see the cup. Isn't that a great looking cup? Honestly, that is a great looking cup. Because we're doing podcasts and not always video, I'm just going to tell you it's my Real Liberty Media cup. I don't even know if you can get them anymore. But man, I love that thing. It's awesome. It's a great conversation piece if I actually had people over to have conversations with. Ha! Anyway, I wanted to tell you September 28th, which is coming right up. Let me see, what is the 28th? What's today, 17th? Yeah, the 28th, I will not be on the air that evening. I'll put a show together. We'll post something, but I just won't be live because I have to go to a meeting. Used to be like every other month they would have these meetings, and then, you know, with COVID and everything, they quit having them. And now we're back to it, which is kind of good because I really like those meetings. Every other month, you get to see all the other docs and other office managers, some admin people. It's kind of cool to get together. They serve dinner and some dessert. And we usually have some continuing education of some kind of 1 hour, you know, something I could use to keep my license up to date. And, yeah, so the 28th probably won't be live. Okay, so today I received the EcoFlow Delta 1300 solar power generator. And, I got it yesterday. And today I put it together and started charging it. Put the solar panels up. I started charging it. And it has to get a full charge before you can start using it. It's, you know, it's going to be questionable. It really is. I'll do a review on it after I've used it for maybe a week or two. I'll give you my full review. But today we had hazy blue sky to start the day. And then we had more kind of dense overcast. So I noticed the input to the generator steadily dropping as the cloud thickness increased, which is too bad because I really wanted it to get charged up quickly so I could use it. But I'm telling you, solar power, man, I'm not a fan. But, you know, having power, some power versus no power, I think is a pretty good deal. And, you know, so it charges slower with cloudy weather. And then I was thinking, yeah, and then when it's real stormy, when you're going to lose power, well, you're not going to be able to charge it up very fast. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. At least I'll have some power. I have the gas-powered generator. That'll work fine. We had a little issue after the last power outage, which was, what, a week ago? Yeah, I think it was last weekend. Yeah, Saturday, last weekend, I think. The well pump pressure gauge pegged and quit working, which happens, I think, when they, you know, when you have a power outage or whatever. So we had to replace the gauge, which meant we have to power off the water pump, well pump, and replace the gauge, but we had to get all the pressure off the system, so when we put the gauge in, it registered accurately, and then when you fire up the system, there's all kinds of kind of dirt and sand you get out of your well, mainly your tank, because you've stirred it all up. And so you had to run the water for a few hours before you could, you know, start running it through the house again. And anyway, I mean, right to the last minute before I went live, we were clearing out pipes still. But finally, we have pure, clean water, no sand coming in the house, which is awesome. So we're back to it live. What a crazy frickin' week this has been. I'm not kidding. I don't think I have laughed so much in about politics as I have in the last week. And I got to tell you something. This is the craziest thing. I'd bring it up right now, but I'm afraid the audio would go over, you know, would go over the show, and I don't really want that to happen. But I was checking out Rumble, and Donald Trump was having a rally in Ohio. And it was like, just checking it out. It was hours before he was going to be there. It was 2.5 hours before he was going to talk. There was 24,000 people watching on Rumble this rally that was just getting together. And Trump wasn't even speaking for 2.5 hours. And there's 24,000 people watching on Rumble. And then as the time got closer, you just saw this number increase. And I'm not saying Rumble is, it's not YouTube, okay? I mean, Rumble is new. It's way new compared to YouTube. And people are just starting to use it more and more. But this was kind of incredible. One sec, I got it. I need to do something. This is crazy. When Trump started talking, there was like 100-something thousand people watching. And the longer he was on, which was only a few minutes, like in 10 minutes, he had 200,000 people watching on Rumble. And I'm like, hey, good for Rumble, number one, and good for Donald Trump, number two, for using Rumble. I don't know who, he probably didn't, but whoever was doing it, RSBN, I guess, was doing it. And they had him on, and they had a bunch of other people talk. You know, Mike Lindell was on there, Marjorie Taylor Greene was on there, I don't know who all, there was a bunch of speakers on before Trump came on, and they were all awesome, you know, typical, you know, patriotic hype. It was encouraging to listen to people that still believe in freedom and liberty, if you believe that. I believe there are some people like that out there. But anyway, that was crazy to kind of check that out and see how many people were tuning in. you know, 2 hours before Trump even got on there. And then, of course, he came on, and I'm sure the numbers are continuing to climb. I'm not going to go check it out, but wait, I guess I could. Let's try it. Might as well. Live experiment on the air. Let's go here. Let's just see. See if you can see. Okay, we're going to hit it, and hopefully it doesn't come on live. Okay, it says 189,000 people listening and 13,450 rumbles. That's crazy. That's really crazy. We'll go back to this because I'm using it as a background for my video, which will be up later. No photos this week. I'm actually running the camera. Unless, of course, for some reason it doesn't record. It will. Trust me. We got this. All right, let's get into the information. Oh, my God. Like I was saying, I was laughing my ass off this week about the hypocrisy coming from the liberals and the Democratic mayors, the Democratic governors, the whole entire left was just cracking me up this week. Like complaining about 50 or 100 or 125 immigrants being shipped to their city. And they're having a freaking conniption fit about it. And what's crazy about that is they just expect that these border states where these immigrants are coming across the border are just supposed to absorb. Somebody said Texas gets like 6,000 immigrants crossing the border per day. I don't know if that's a high number or low number. I'd suspect it's higher. But could you imagine that your state and those border towns, or even the ranches and the people who live along the border who own property, have 6,000 people show up every single day? And then you take on the appearance of being a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state, and everybody is welcome here. I got to tell you guys what I did. I thought this was funny as heck, and I actually got a reply, but I'll tell you about the reply in a second. I got to wet my whistle. Hang on. Okay. So in this cup is coffee, which is not good to drink when you're trying to talk because it kind of dries you out. And this flask is sweet tea. That'll keep me going for a bit. Okay. So you're a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, or, you know, left-leaning, progressive, whatever. Well, I was going to tell you what I did. I wrote Greg Abbott in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott. You know, you can find their, you know, email address or the contact me from their site. I wrote him, and I said, hey, I just want you to know, Portland, Salem, and Eugene are sanctuary cities up here in Oregon, and I'm pretty sure they could use some more immigrants up here. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully he kind of, you know, hopefully if the guy's reasonable, you would think he would distribute people equally, you know, like no sense showing favoritism, you know, you got to send people where they're welcome. And Portland especially could use a few thousand immigrants at least. And Eugene and Salem, especially Salem. Salem is on the verge of becoming Portland. It's so close right now. Like, it's hard to tell a difference when you go to Portland, when you go to Salem. There's so much trash and so much filth and so many, like, you know, disposed of drug paraphernalia in the street. And human waste and filthy people just lining the streets right next to businesses that used to be favorable businesses. You know, used to be places where you'd like to go and shop. You know, at the mall in Salem, the city center mall, used to be a great place. You know, of course, I couldn't go in there now because it's, you know, lined with, you know, filthy, disgusting trash outside, and I wouldn't even think about it. But man, back in the day, you would, you know, you'd take a trip to Salem and be like, oh yeah, I got to stop in, you know, the city center mall. and check out some of these shops, because like Cinnabon was in there. Remember Cinnabon? I think there used to be a Aunt Annie's pretzel place in there. I'm only going to talk about the, you know, kind of unique food choices there were. But no, there were some nice shops in there too. But man, that place, you know, all of these big, all of these cities where they have let homelessness and crime run rampant, they're really paying the price now. You know, foot traffic, people who wanted to go, who would like to go shopping in those places, they're avoiding it like the plague. And do you blame them? Like, do you want to walk down the street and be stepping over people's dirty clothes or their trash or feces or urine? sorry, Vinny, I probably ruined that appetite right there. Yeah, you know, you're not going to want to go downtown and, you know, try and weave your way through the nasty people and traffic and, you know, go into these stores and spend good money. Who would want to do that? You know, it used to be kind of unique. In fact, Rochelle and I, 25 years ago, close to that, we used to literally, like, drive from here to a place where we could catch the mass transit into city center of Portland so we could go do some Christmas shopping and kind of get in the Christmas spirit, because Portland would decorate. They had the huge tree, Christmas tree in Pioneer Courthouse Square. The shops would all decorate. It was very festive. They had ornaments on the, you know, on the street light poles and the stores. You know, there's actually some really unique stores in Portland, you know, little, like, not just big name stores. There's some little locally owned businesses with locally produced effects, you know, trinkets or ornaments or made in Oregon stuff and like foods made in Oregon, Tillamook cheese, for example, or ice cream. Yeah, but you know, so back then we would go to kind of, it was kind of a thing, like, to go and enjoy that time of year in Portland. And sometimes it would never snow, but sometimes it'd be cold, you know, kind of make you believe it was winter time. Portland doesn't get a lot of snow, but once in a great while they get a pretty good snowstorm, maybe once a year, really. They'll get some snow that snarl all the traffic. But yeah, it used to be a thing. But we don't even think about going there now. We don't even think about, like, if we have to go somewhere beyond Portland, we only pass through Portland because, one, there's no other way to go, if that's the case, and two, to look at and laugh at all of the crap and dirt and scum that Ted Wheeler has turned Portland into. And he just keeps, you know, sticking to his guns with all this. You know, he just thinks there's a way, that there's some societal solution to what's going on in Portland. And, you know, the whole defund the police movement, the whole completely not backing your police force in Portland, it's just turned it into, you know, to complete chaos. It truly is complete chaos. And, you know, he's not backing down anytime soon. You know, there's still giant camps of homeless people near places where he says that they are not allowed, like near schools and near communities where kids have to walk to school and back. Yeah, I never liked the big city of Portland either. Even I was going to school there at Oregon Health Sciences University. I didn't even like it then. But I tolerated it, and I made the best of it when I was there. But yeah, he has no plans of backing down. He thinks it's just the greatest thing that's ever happened is to, you know, not have enough police to respond to violent assaults, to investigate murders, to stop gun crime. You know, I forget how many. There's like 65 homicides now, which I know Like in some big cities, that's not a lot, but for Portland, that's a ton. I bet it's like 70. Halfway, what, three quarters of the way through the year. You know, and just other street crime that goes on all the time. Oh, there you go, fire in the hole. 420 somewhere. You notice I played a little Bob Marley something in the beginning. That was fun. Somebody's favorite or one of their favorites. That was pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, back to the immigrants. So I was talking about getting some immigrants to Portland. I mean, maybe they could help out. I mean, there's plenty of jobs. There is a ton of jobs available in Portland, Salem, and Eugene right now. I'm not kidding. They wouldn't have to go one day unemployed. Well, they might, though, because they get all that, you know, government, you know, benefits, but they wouldn't have to. I mean, they could go directly to work if they wanted to. There's literally, you know what, even when I go to McMinnville, which is the town, the almost city that's 15 miles away from where I live, like every single business has help wanted signs out, you know, or go to our website and apply for a job. There's like every single business out there. I don't see one single business that doesn't say we need help. So there's plenty of work to do. So, I mean, as I was saying, you know, Greg Abbott and DeSantis and, you know, any other governors who are looking for some place to send some of those people, I think it's reasonable to spread it around so everybody kind of gets, especially the sanctuary cities. I mean, we got to support them. They're sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. So, you know, you gotta send people to where they're welcome. Well, they'll be welcome with open arms, like in Martha's Vineyard. Oh, yeah, that didn't really happen, did it? Yeah, Martha's Vineyard. You know, who's... Let me just see. I wanted to see how many... I forget what they said. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So in Martha's Vineyard, get this, the island goes from a population of about 17,000 to over 100,000 people in the summer, which, by the way, it's summer, mostly. I guess it's kind of almost over. But Martha's Vineyard couldn't handle 50 illegal immigrants. It was too much for them. Or maybe they weren't the right color to be hanging around in the streets in Martha's Vineyard. I'm not really sure. Or maybe they didn't have the social status needed to be on Martha's Vineyard. That seems to be an issue that, you know, they had to get those brown people off the island as quick as possible. Yeah, they didn't want any of their ilk. What's going on here? Oh, yeah. Okay, everything's fine. I don't know what's wrong with me. Oh. Yeah, no brown people here. They couldn't handle 50 illegals. Of course not. The elite only say the words. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Is this hypocrisy settling in yet? New York City, Chicago, Washington, D.C. Documents from the Emergency Management Department show that the state had already paid, about Texas, the state had already paid $12 million to Wind Transportation to bus thousands of migrants from Texas border communities to Washington, D.C. and to New York City. You know, and they all start screaming and crying for help because they got 50 to 100, maybe 1,000, maybe thousands of immigrants. Yet, you know, when the immigrants aren't there, look at that bear is like almost like head to head with me. You'll see it on the video. It's funny. I started to lose my train of thought. Wait a minute. Yeah, these states who claim to be sanctuary states and who get up and profess how we need to let these people in. We can't hinder these people crossing the border. You know, they're only looking for a better way of life. Well, until they show up in that state, in those cities, Chicago, good example, New York City, they're shipping them all over the place. Here's the deal. The federal government literally ships them all over the place also. Let me get down to it, though. Let me get through all these notes here. New York City officials have said that the city will continue to provide shelter to asylum seekers. New York is required by law to provide same-day housing for any adult who requests it, regardless of immigration status. How about that? So if you're in New York City, you just got to ask for, you know, ask for housing, and they'll provide it. They're under law, their law says they have to provide it. The city is contracted with emergency hotels and is also relying on volunteer groups to help provide clothing, food, and shelter to the new arrivals. Are they walking the walk? Governor Abbott has crossed the line by using innocent human beings for his political ends, New York City Commissioner of Immigrant Affairs Manuel Castro tweeted on Wednesday. Castro has also said the tactic is fomenting anti-immigrant and anti-Latino hate. Meanwhile, Abbott has publicly chided Adams for calling New York a sanctuary city while also complaining about the new arrivals. Right? That's what I'm saying. Are you a sanctuary city or not? You know, now is the time to put your money where your mouth is. You know, you can stand up all day long in front of the Senate, in front of the House, you know, in your political speeches when you're looking to get reelected, and talk about how we have to let more immigrants cross the border. But when it comes time to actually put up or shut up, it looks to me like it's time to shut up. You're not doing a very good job. Looks like you weren't prepared. Oh, you can be a sanctuary city. You know, you can say the words. You can put it on your little, you know, welcome to wherever street sign. But are you willing to actually do what it takes? Just think, in these border states, those people deal with that every single day. Thousands of people coming across their borders, and somehow those states are supposed to just what? Handle it? Yeah, they're just supposed to handle it. You know, oh, that's your problem. You handle it. You know, but don't slow them down. Don't stop them from coming in. Well, welcome to the real world. Have a few immigrants yourself. How does that sound? Lori Lightfoot said the city had not yet heard from any Texas officials and urged Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott to collaborate on more humane treatment of the immigrants. Hell, they're traveling in a air-conditioned, climate-controlled bus or planes in some cases. They're given meals. They're kept warm and comfortable. What do you mean, more humane treatment? Hey, you're a sanctuary city. For God's sakes, you better get busy. You better take care of business up there. Oh, Chicago is a long way from the border. I know. I know, man. It's easy to talk crap when you're a long ways from the threat. Right? Oh, we're a sanctuary city. We welcome all comers here. What? 1,000 immigrants? Hey, we can't take that. Really? Thousands. Literally thousands every day cross the borders in Texas, Arizona. Yeah, I'm kind of glad to see everybody having to share the load a little bit. And I don't even live in one of those border states. Why do I care? Because it's time, man. I'm tired of people running their mouths and not standing. And I am loving, absolutely loving, seeing these people squirm. Having them actually show their true colors when presented with illegal immigrants immigrants in their city, in their town. I am absolutely loving it. The only thing that's really sad for me is that the people who I wish would see these people for who they really are, they're not going to see it. Nope, they're going to be on that side that says, oh, they're treated so inhumanely, they're just put on buses like cattle and shipped to other states. Like that's inhumane. Hell, these people walked for miles, for days, some of them. They walked through the desert, the heat. They were probably trafficked. They might have been sexually abused or violently assaulted along the way. They were probably robbed in one way or another along the way. And yet it's inhumane to put them on a bus and send them somewhere that has jobs and offers sanctuary. That's inhumane. Well, what kind of sanctuary are you? Seriously, what kind of sanctuary are you if you can't take a few thousand extra people? Not prepared for it, are you? Well, where should we send them then? I got an idea. How about all the non-border states just start sending the border states money? I think that is a great idea. It's like hush money, right? It's like, don't send your brown people to us money. Yeah, don't send your Latinxes to us. We'll pay you to keep them. I think that would be excellent. Again, it would show these people who they truly are. Oh, please let it happen. Well, did I cover what Lori Lightfoot said? Not heard from yeah. About Abbott is busing migrants who are in the country illegally from Texas to U.S. cities with Democratic mayors as part of a strategy to share the influx of people who cross into his border state. I don't see anything wrong with that. And you know, when I was talking earlier, the U.S. government does the same thing. A post-analysis of online flight tracking data suggests that around 2,000 of the underage migrants have arrived at the airport outside of White Plains on 21 flights since August 8th. Plane loads of underage migrants are being flown secretly into suburban New York in an effort by President Biden's administration to quietly resettle them across the region, the Post has learned. The charter flights originate in Texas, where the ongoing border crisis has overwhelmed local immigration officials in Texas, of course, and have been underway since at least August, according to sources familiar with the matter. Last week, the Post saw two planes land at the Westchester County Airport, where most of the passengers who got off appeared to be children and teens, with a small portion appearing to be men in their 20s. Records show some of the planes touched down between midnight and 6:30 a.m. A source familiar with the operation at the Westchester Airport said the underage migrants typically arrive carrying backpacks and are bused to locations including the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, upstate Newburgh, and Bridgeport, and Danbury in Connecticut. Westchester County cops stood by as the passengers, whose flight arrived at 10:49 p.m. Wednesday and 9:52 p.m. Friday, got off and piled into buses. Mercy First has contracted to supply the federal government with residential services for immigrant youth, according to their site. Mercy First CEO Renee Skolaski didn't return a request for comment. Later Saturday, a similar scene began playing out in Jacksonville, Florida, where many of the flights from Texas have touched down before continuing on to Westchester, and where the Post saw a Boeing 737-700 land shortly after 10 p.m. at Jacksonville International Airport. So where is the outrage about the federal government doing the exact same thing that these border state governors are doing? Yeah, where is the outrage that the federal government is doing the exact same thing? Or maybe worse, or maybe better. I don't know, but they're sending teenage kids to freaking the to New York City and then distributing them up between the Bronx, Queens, and who knows where, Newburgh and Connecticut. Yeah, but you don't hear anybody whining about that. There's got to be some kind of payola going on there. You know, hey, this is U.S. government, we're here to help. We're going to be sending some immigrants up to your state, and you'll notice a little extra money in your bank account next month, or maybe this month, I don't know. But yeah, the federal government's doing it, and there was no outrage about that. But, you know, there was no outrage about herding them like cattle into these planes and sending them around the country, just not until these governors of the border states did it. Then there's some kind of outrage. That's what I'm saying. Do you understand the hypocrisy? Do you see how crazy it is that they'll complain about it because a Republican did it? But as long as, if Biden does it, it's okay. You know, if the left does it, oh, it's fine. Yeah, we don't notice. Kind of like that whole sexual harassment thing with Biden. Well, maybe even worse, I don't know. But, yeah, no word said. That's not on my list to talk about, so let's not. What's next on the agenda? I think we covered all of that. Oh, my God. But has that been entertaining or what? I'm not kidding. It has been the best, the most I've laughed at the left in a long time. And I find a reason to laugh at them almost every single day. But this just kept coming, man. Like hour after hour. The stupid things. I wish I would have recorded some of the stupid things they said. In fact, I may have to do that. Maybe this weekend. I got a lot to do this weekend, but maybe I'm gonna go find all of these comments. I'm gonna get the audio and put some together, because I'm not kidding. It was the craziest week I've seen in a while. Okay, let's get to this. The FBI. No, seriously, is that the next story? Got to be kidding me. That's okay if it is. No, we're going to go to this. I don't know why it got out of order. Hope to God I didn't, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's in the editorial section. Okay, listen, you guys, I wanted to share this with you last week. I just didn't get to it. So, you know, I'm always complaining about the jab, you know, and the shot, and how it's constantly promoted on mainstream media. You can't get away from it. It's, you know, like PSAs and Pfizer and the CDC and the NIH. Everybody's telling you to get these vaccines, right? And I saw one. It's just in Oregon, and it was really interesting. It was a mom sitting with her husband and her three kids, and she's talking about how she goes, you know, it's really hard to cut through the information that comes out about COVID-19 and the vaccine. It seems like so much information comes out every day that I have a really hard time sorting it out. Well, she's probably not real smart or something. Who knows? Because it's not hard to sort out. I mean, it really is not hard to sort out. You just look for the truth. You'll find it. But anyway, so she says, I talk to my pediatrician, and they recommend that my children get the jab. And I'm thinking to myself, here's the problem with these kind of commercials, especially today. Now, no, I shouldn't say especially today. I should say like a year ago when they were putting these commercials together, you could apply several rules to this commercial to actually 100% disqualify it. And I actually think you could do it today. And that is, Wait. Show check. Hang on. I got to check some stuff. Oh, my God. Are you serious? Okay. We'll survive one way or another. Is anything working here? Yeah, it's all working. Fine. Whatever. Oh, my gosh. I'll get it right eventually. One of these days, I'll get it right. I'll surprise everybody. Where was I? Back to the notes. Oh, yeah. Okay, so these commercials. So she says she talked to her pediatrician, and she trusts her pediatrician. And I was thinking to myself, here's the problem. Here's the problem with this scenario. Your pediatrician, if they're still in practice, they drank the Kool-Aid. Your pediatrician is only able to give you advice because they agreed in the last 2 years not to tell you the truth. Because all of the MDs, which a pediatrician is an MD, all of them who did not recommend the vaccine or actually gave you truthful information about getting this jab, they're gone. Their licenses were suspended. Their privileges were taken away at different hospitals. And yeah, so your pediatrician, you can pretty much guess, is lying to you. They are not able to give you accurate information because they agreed to push the Pfizer and Moderna and other vaccines, because if they didn't, well, they couldn't practice anymore, which meant they couldn't make money anymore. The sad truth is that nobody who's watching that commercial and actually taking it for what it's worth is going to go find the truth anywhere, because they won't look outside of, you know, whatever they happen to be watching that day, the Masked Singer or Master Chef or whatever it is. I think I actually saw it during an MLB game because, you know, that I have that MLB, whatever it's called, MLB TV. And when they go to commercial, they throw out local commercials. And I was really shocked. I was like, what is this commercial doing on during a baseball game? And why is it from Oregon? Like, why don't they have national commercials? Which they do. But I'm just saying, it was kind of interesting to see that that commercial came on during a MLB game that I pay money for that subscription so I can see, you know, the Brewers play, which I'm watching right now on the big screen behind the studio here. They're ahead 4-1, by the way. Oh, and plus Wisconsin won today and the Ducks won today. What a great weekend. I mean, so far, really a good sports weekend. Anyway, let me get back to it. So the commercials are stupid. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. Because if they say that they talk to a doctor, that doctor is a liar. They are not giving you accurate information about the safety and the dangers of these vaccines. And I got more stuff today, man, that is not good. And I keep saying, like every single show, I think I'm going to go without talking about COVID or the jab. It's going to be impossible. And I think it's going to be impossible for a very long time, because more and more data is coming out, real data based on actual, you know, results of the vaccine of and of getting COVID. So, yeah, please ignore the vaccine commercial. And even better yet, stop getting the damn shot. Seriously. What do I have? Where's that story I have today? Glad to make my day. Life expectancy. Oh, God. I don't understand this. Oh. Yeah, more heart inflammation in young men reported. Recent figures published in the CDC's Vaccine Safety Data Link surveillance system show that within a week of getting the two-dose Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, there were 14 cases of myocarditis or pericarditis among 102,091 males between the ages of 16 and 17. And of the 206,000 12 to 15-year-old males who got the same two-dose vaccine, there were 31 cases within a week. Now, it may not seem like a lot, but here we're talking about, you know, the future generations of America. And we're wiping them out. It's much worse than anybody had thought. But you're seeing more and more of myocarditis, heart attacks, heart inflammation, all following these freaking shots. And they're from the age groups that they are pushing this vaccine on right now. Their goal is to get younger and younger people this worthless frickin' shot. And they know it doesn't work. They know it doesn't work the way it should. More data is coming out time and time again about, you know, how effective this vaccine is, and it's not. Oh, crazy. There's something else about the shot. Oh, yeah, life expectancy. So life expectancy falls again in historic decline. Athletes were the canaries in the coal mine, with several hundred dropping dead despite 80% having no symptoms or family history of heart disease. With the release of the latest statistics, the historic life expectancy drop can no longer be denied. Time to wet my whistle. According to the latest statistics, life expectancy in the United States dropped precipitously in 2020 and 2021. In 2019, the average lifespan of Americans of all ethnicities was nearly 79 years. By the end of 2021, it had dropped to 76. 3 years. Even small declines in life expectancy of a tenth or two-tenths of a year mean that on a population level, a lot more people are dying prematurely than they really should be. Native Americans and Alaska Natives have the highest rate of diabetes out of any ethnic groups, 1 in 7. And obesity is also common. Both of these conditions have been identified as comorbidities that make you susceptible to serious COVID-19 infection. Aside from COVID, causes of death listed as contributors to this loss of life expectancy, listen to these now, are accidental deaths, drug overdoses, heart disease, chronic liver disease, and cirrhosis. However, excess deaths from all causes are wildly elevated across age groups. Man, where are we at here? Oh, we're cruising. Yeah, so, I mean, we are knocking years off average life expectancy, and you think that's coming? There's no way for that to come back, like, next year. There's no, you can't make up 3 years loss of life expectancy, like, you know, our people, there's no way to make that number go back the 3 years, go back up to 79. And where we are right now, it's going to continue to fall to who knows how far. Of course, I mean, that was the agenda, you know, the World Economic Forum's agenda. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea, Bill Gates said we need fewer people on the planet, although now he's trying to figure out a way to grow food with his magic seeds to feed everybody on the planet. But I'd say they're doing a pretty good job if they knocked off 3 years. You know how long it took to get the life expectancy up to 79 years? I mean, it probably took Well, I mean, it probably took centuries if you look back at, you know, the history of mankind and how long we lived 50 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago. You know, we have a lot of things in our favor now to keep us alive. But, you know, and it slowly crept up decade after decade, these slow increases. Probably after antibiotics were discovered, there was probably a little bump, you know, as we figured out how to balance our diet. And, you know, there was probably just all along the way, you know, how we learned to manage diseases in general, communicable diseases that would kill us all or take out big chunks of the population. And, yeah, I think vaccines was part of that, too. You know, some of the vaccines we have prevented death. They actually, yeah, fewer women dying in childbirth. No kidding. You know what kind of damage that would do to life expectancy? You know, and you got to think about that, too, in the long run. You got to think about this. Like, they already, and you've heard it on this show, where, yes, the vaccine does interfere with reproduction in males and females. You don't think that's going to affect life expectancy down the road somewhere? I don't know if it will or not. Honestly, it can't possibly. It won't bring it back. It's going to be centuries before we gain that 3 years back, if we ever do. Yeah, we're going to, you know, people are not going to be able to produce offspring because they're, you know, the young people today have been injured with this vaccine. But still, you know, make sure you take your kids in and get them shot up, even though there's no evidence that it's going to help them or protect them. There's no real threat to them. But yeah, you make sure you get your children vaccinated. Oh my God, the sad state of affairs. Let's see, editorial or story. You know, I got to cover this because I just think this is so much crap. So the FBI put out a report this week. And the idea, I think, I have to hit the link because I didn't copy a lot of notes now. The FBI, they put out a report, okay, because... Well, honestly, I think they put out a report because people were getting pretty pissed off that they're raiding conservatives, Trump supporters, and they're acting like, they're acting like the Gestapo, honestly. That's the best way to say it. And I think people were getting pissed, like, hey, don't you have something better to do? You know, like when the cop stops you because your tail light is out? And you're like, really? You stopped me because my taillight is out? Like, don't you have, like, a junkie or a robber, you know, or some other idiot to go harass instead of me with my taillight? Oh, and thank you for the citation, so I have to go to court and show them I bought a frickin' light bulb. Yeah, you know that. So I think the FBI was like, hey, you know, we got to make it look like we're doing something other than just harassing Trump supporters. So let's just put out a report on all the things we've done recently. So the FBI said FBI agents arrested about, you notice this? FBI agents arrested about 6,000 alleged violent criminals across the United States over the past 4 months. And have seized more than 2,700 firearms and, this is a direct quote, large quantities of fentanyl, the Bureau announced Tuesday. Is that convincing any of you? I mean, the only number they mentioned, oh yeah, about 6,000 alleged violent criminals and seized more than 2,700 firearms and large quantities of fentanyl. Wonder how much that is. And what did they do with the people who they apparently arrested? I mean, are they actually going to court? Are they actually going to have charges filed against them? And then are they going to actually be persecuted? And were they actually criminals in the first place? I don't know. But don't have to find that one out the hard way. Yeah, I'm not buying this. I don't know about anybody else. I'm not buying it. You know, the FBI has been lying who knows for how long. Well, for a long time, 50 years, 60 years. It's part of their gig. I'm going to have to add them to the list of people who absolutely have to lie to perform their job. You know, lawyers, actors, politicians, and the FBI. Those four, those four categories of people have to lie to perform their jobs. Violent crime is on the minds of a lot of Americans right now and top of mind for police chiefs and sheriffs who constantly tell me that the rising rate of gun and gang violence is one of their most important and difficult challenges, FBI Director Christopher Wray said in a video message about the operation. The FBI, which has faced increasing criticism about its targeting of former President Donald Trump and his supporters, said that its agents and local law enforcement officials, yeah, blah, 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 right? They arrested Mike Lindell. You know why they arrested Mike Lindell? They thought he provided, you know, ammunition for the insurrection, but they couldn't find any My Pillows at the insurrection. So, I don't know, Mike Lindell's probably going to get off. I'm telling you, I love Mike Lindell. I don't know if you guys ever looked into this guy much. Pretty incredible story, honest to God, that this guy has gotten to where he's gotten. Holy hell, time goes by fast. It's incredible that this guy has gotten to where he has gotten from where he came from. And now he's being harassed by the highest branches of law enforcement of the United States of America for just doing the right thing. And he keeps hanging in there, man. It's incredible. And you know what else? What else is incredible is those of us who support him keep supporting him. I'm just thinking, this dude is a citizen of the United States. He went through some hell in his life. He literally went through some hell in his life. I don't know if he stepped on any toes getting to where he's gotten. I'm sure probably he did. But man, that dude has made a life for himself, a life that he can actually resist attacks like this from the FBI. He's not the only one. There was some random citizen who was abducted outside of her house and told that they had a warrant to take her phone. So, like, they catch her outside and, like, yep, hand us over your phone because you're a Trump supporter. You don't believe this stuff is happening? Man, you better open your eyes and be ready. It's happening. I mean, I'm not saying it hasn't happened before, but it's happening now. Man, and we are getting short on time, too. You know, Yeah, we're just about there. You know, the election's coming up. I can't believe I didn't get to all these stories. Yeah, I can. I'm an idiot. But I appreciate you guys. It is coming, man. It's scary. It really is scary. It's going to be interesting to see what happens politically. You know, I hope the right thing happens and this country survives and maybe we get back to, you know, living a life of freedom. You know, that's what we're looking for. That's what I'm looking for, is to live a life of freedom. That's what I'd like to do. that's going to wrap it up for the Redneck Dennis Show this week. I look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Remember, catch Hal Anthony and the Behind the Woodshed tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I think we'll be fine there. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dennis Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.